Hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Freebird, and I'm with Voices for Innovation. Thank you very much for joining our webinar today during National Small Business Week, entitled Driving the Innovation Economy Forward, Small Business Voices Matter. So if we could just mute phones, please. So what we're going to do is we're going to just do a short presentation about VFI and NAGI. We're going to have Rob and Shaheen present, and then we will talk to you about a hot policy issue. So before I begin, I wanted just to say a special thank you to Rob McKenna and Shaheen Cohan for joining. Just by way of background, Rob is the president of NAGI. He'll tell you more about what that's all about. He's also the former attorney general for the state of Washington. Now he's in a role where he gets to intersect on some of the public policy issues that he was working on as attorney general in the private sector and with NAGI. We also have Shaheen Cohan with us, who's president of Ames 360 Focal Technology Solutions. Shaheen provides a software and solutions for the fashion industry. He's based in Los Angeles. He's very involved in both Voices for Innovation and NAGI. So we're happy to have both Shaheen and Rob with us today. So just by way of background for those who are new, Voices for Innovation, we're a Microsoft support community. It's a community that I manage from Microsoft. I'm based in Redmond. And we have not only technology professionals, but pretty much anyone who wants to stay informed and engaged on public policy issues that really are about impacting the 21st century digital economy and society. And on this slide, I have a few examples of what that looks like. So we have a number of people who get involved with our program. So on the left and quoted below is a woman named Naomi Moneypenny. She testified a couple years ago in front of the Senate Small Business Committee on issues that were important to her, specifically around talent gap and finding talent. We've had some opportunities to visit members on the Hill, as well as last year, a number of us were in Washington, D.C., and got to pay a visit to the White House. There were 50 small business voices at the White House last year, representing some tech policy issues. Shaheen actually participated in that event. And then finally, on the right, we also look to have opportunities to have our technology leaders get involved on the political side of things, as well as on the governmental side of things. And so that's Emily Hirsch, who's based in San Diego. She had a technology solution that was used at the Democratic National Convention a few years ago. It was a touchscreen voting solution. So what we try to do, again, is keep our elected officials and government decision makers informed. We try to be trusted advisors to them on some of these technology issues as well as technology solutions. And we work with organizations like NAGI, which is why I'm very glad NAGI is with us today. So with that, Rob, I'll turn it over to you to do an intro for NAGI.
Sorry to take off speakerphone there. NAGI is the National Alliance for Jobs and Innovation and was founded a couple of years ago by a number of manufacturing companies and a few technology companies for the purpose of combating intellectual property theft. We incorporated in 2013. We've grown now to well over 400 members, and we continue to grow month by month, adding manufacturing companies, some trade associations such as manufacturing associations, some academic groups, and technology companies joining our original technology member, Microsoft. Our goal is to promote awareness of the importance of intellectual property in manufacturing and in general in our country, and to encourage policymakers and enforcers to do more to protect IP on our shores, particularly from theft by companies based overseas. We've been successful in persuading companies, or I should say attorneys general, to bring actions where companies have had their IP stolen, and 9 state AGs now have taken some sort of action in response to evidence that a company or companies in their state have been victimized by IP theft overseas that puts manufacturers within their state at a competitive disadvantage. So that's been our activity to date. We also support legislation, particularly in Congress at the federal level, that supports stronger IP protection, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that later in this conversation, but one prominent example recently has been our support for the LEADS Act, which protects digital privacy and privacy of individuals and companies' information when it's stored abroad.
Great. Thank you, Rob. So what I've asked Rob and Shaheen to do, again, because we have a number of small business leaders on the phone, is just to provide their perspectives. I thought Rob could provide a perspective as a former elected official about why it's important to get involved, and then Shaheen can talk about his experience in getting involved and why he feels like it's important for other business leaders to join them. So, Rob, why don't I again turn it over to you, and then Shaheen, when Rob's done, you can hop in.
Well, one of the things I learned as Attorney General working in Olympia, Washington, is that the impact of those individual citizens and companies and organizations who choose to get involved, the impact that they can have on a policymaking process in the legislature, for example, is really quite remarkable if they take the time to get involved. And I often would talk to groups that would come down to our state capitol, and always open my remarks to them, whatever the subject they were there for. I always open my remarks by thanking them for attending, for participating, and by telling them that they would have an outsized impact because they took the time to actually get involved. Because this, as crowded as the halls of the state capitol or the Congress can seem when you're walking around meeting people, the fact is relatively few people actually take the time to get involved in that way. And they have this disproportionate impact because they have taken the time to personally visit with lawmakers and with other policymakers. So that's the main point I want to stress today, is that getting involved in these issues actually does make a difference. It can feel like, you know, looking from the outside before you get involved, can feel like, you know, you're just spitting in the ocean, but actually, it's throwing a big rock in a pond when you choose to get involved in supporting or, in some cases, opposing particular legislation. And so we encourage everyone on this call, members of EFI, to be involved and continue to be involved because of the impact you can have on the people you interact with in the legislative process and more broadly in the regulatory and policymaking processes.
Great. Shaheen, did you want to go ahead?
I'm ready on that. You know, as Jonathan said, you know, we're actually a company. We make, you know, I own 2 different companies that make software. And I met Jonathan a few years ago, and I started working with VFI. And for us, some of the reasons we're involved on these issues is, one is basically exposure and interaction with government. So both VFI and NAGI have given us the opportunity to be able to interact with our local, state, and federal officials. You know, we've had a number of opportunities to go and meet with leaders. We've had the trip to White House. Frequently go once a year to the state legislator in California and, you know, meet the legislators and discuss with them different policy issues. There's been other opportunities to go and, you know, do presentations. Obviously, Naji itself was an opportunity that came through VFI, and I got involved with it, and you know, also on the board of that. There's also the aspect of education, and you know, just being informed, learning details of how government and legislature operate. For me personally, I've always made it a mission in my life to learn as much as possible. And so, you know, we get exposed in our business, you know, we're in a business, many of you guys are obviously business people, and 90% of our time is spent with the people we work with our customers and with our vendors. But we rarely get exposed to people who are outside of our circle of competency and our circle of business. And so for us, this is something that's very different. It's not something that we usually get exposed to on a regular basis. And so we learn a lot from the people that we meet through these organizations. For example, you know, meeting Rob, was a great opportunity for me. I've learned so much from him and how he interacts with people and when he how he approaches people. And so it's been a great learning experience for me to be able to see how, you know, Rob operates. I've had an opportunity to meet California's AG and talk to her about some issues and see how she thinks about things and how her thought process works. As far as involvement, we've obviously been involved in a number of issues that was important to us. For example, piracy was a very important issue for Ames because we make software. But also in Ames particular is interesting because we sell software to the fashion industry, and fashion industry is one of the industries that has the highest amount of intellectual property theft as well. So anybody who's watched TV, they see, you know, Louis Vuitton and, you know, many of these companies, even smaller brands, have their items knocked off and sold, you know, without their permission. So their trademark or their intellectual properties are you know, being ripped off. The Leeds Act, obviously, is another important issue that's been an important issue for us that has to do with, you know, how, you know, there's some clarification that needs to come in the law. Jonathan will explain more about that. But, you know, it's something that's important to us because we have data centers, not just in the United States, but across the world. And so for us, it is important to be able to make sure that we can operate in a manner that's lawful and that we don't have to worry about issues that are not cleared from a legal perspective. And there's other issues that have come up that we've been involved in from time to time. For example, public education and sort of STEM and how it affects IT workers and things like that has been another issue that's very important to us. You know, obviously there's a shortage of talent in IT these days, and so that's something that we're working with, you know, Microsoft and the legislature and VFI to be able to remedy so that we can get some better results from that. And so I will turn this now over back to Jonathan.
Thank you, Shaheen. One thing I wanted to add, and I know we have as I look at the names, we have a number of our involved VFI members on the phone, so thank you very much for participating. You know, I talk about, you know, getting involved with VFI as a benefit is that you're recognizing you can be seen as a business leader. So not just, you know, we all are, you know, heads down trying to do our jobs, but oftentimes there are issues that are impacting your company, that are impacting your customers as well, that can provide you a platform to be a leader, both through VFI and Naji as well. So these are opportunities that I think are important. And as Rob said, and as Shaheen noted as well, they have impact. They make a difference. And Rob, I just wanted to repeat it, what you said, because I like the analogy. You're a big stone in a small pond, because not enough people take the time to get involved. So as Rob and Shaheen mentioned, there is some legislation in Congress that's percolating right now about modernizing laws as it pertains to cloud computing and data privacy. And this is an issue that is important both to Najee and to VFI, to the tech industry, to the manufacturing industry. I think one of the interesting things for me that I've seen as VFI has gotten involved with a number of different issues is that the issues have broader impact now. And so what this issue essentially is about, as the headline states on the slide, modernizing outdated data privacy laws. It's about ensuring that we have a balance between the needs of government and, in particular, government entities that are doing investigations for criminal activity, are able to follow a proper process and procedure to obtain information that they need in the courses of investigation, with the needs of ensuring that data gets treated, it gets respected in terms of being private, as well as gets treated as if it was a paper or hard copy document that's stored in the cloud. So what I mean by that is that, there are procedures and processes in place, and Rob, being a former AG, knows better about this than I do. But there are procedures and processes in place where you have to get warrants in the U.S. case, for example, in order to get at information that's stored, in someone's desk or in someone's computer. And, part of what Leeds says is that you need to apply those same rules of engagement to get at data stored in the cloud. And as Shaheen mentioned, this not only pertains to the U.S., but also pertains to data stored overseas. So as data becomes more borderless, there needs to be some rules and procedures in place that governments need to follow, both the U.S. government, but also governments outside the U.S. that are seeking information about U.S. citizens. And so essentially at the end of the day, what the LEADS Act is about, updating laws and updating the rules and providing guidance to law enforcement officials in terms of conducting investigations and obtaining evidence for data that's both stored in cloud services and stored overseas. And Rob, I don't know if there's anything you want to add from your perspective on LEADS, but feel free.
Well, the reason that LEADS is needed is, as you said, that the current laws governing law enforcement access to email, for example, was written in 1986, and it was based on certain technological assumptions that haven't been true for a long, long time. For example, typically it was very expensive to store anything on an email provider's server, and so your emails would typically be deleted after, 180 days, for example. Well, that's obviously no longer the case, and yet the government now tries to obtain emails without obtaining a search warrant that they really should have in order to be able to invade someone's privacy like that. So LEADS is a good faith effort with very strong bipartisan support in the Congress to update the law and require law enforcement agencies to obtain a warrant to get their hands on the content of electronic communications, and authorizes that warrant to extend overseas if it seeks the contents of an email, for example, of a U.S. person. But by requiring the warrant, builds in stronger protections that currently exist. This is important for the competitiveness of companies like Microsoft and any American company that's doing business overseas as well that involves using emails, because foreign countries are now citing the fact that the government's trying to get emails without a warrant, even if they're stored overseas, as a basis for not trusting American technology companies. So they're trying to use it to help their own domestic technology industry. So we need to update our law to show that American law respects privacy rights and puts checks and balances in place, like the requirement for a search warrant, while at the same time recognize that law enforcement needs to be able to get at information important to a criminal investigation. And the LEADS Act finds that balance, I think, very well, which, again, is why it has strong support from Democrats and Republicans alike in the Congress.
Thank you. And the other thing I would add, just from what I've heard from VFI Microsoft partners, is that, as Rob noted, customers are, transnational companies. They're storing data all over the world. And so they, too, are not as willing to go move their data into the cloud without, a set of rules in place. So that's another issue. I mean, essentially, and not to overstate this, part of what this act is about the future of cloud. And so if I know a number of you on the phone have been making investments into the cloud, putting your customers into the cloud, or perhaps using cloud technology as a manufacturing company. So I think this is an important bill. So what we do with VFI, and I'll just, some, I think many of you are familiar with this, but for those who aren't, is we try to make it very easy for you to communicate with your elected officials. And so if there's an ask that I have, is I encourage you to go to our website, www.voicesforinnovation.org, and there's many ways for you to take action and write your members of Congress. On the left side, we have a tool that allows you to write your elected officials. And on the right side, if you do Twitter, we also have a tool. All you have to do is enter in your address, and it will connect your Twitter account with your elected officials. And this is another way, again, that elected officials are receiving communications from their constituents through Twitter, and they're impactful. So it'll take less than 2 minutes of your time. We have letters and tweets that you can edit and personalize, but we just wanted to encourage you to take that action. And we think, during National Small Business Week, having some small business voices heard on this issue is important. So with that, let me stop and just see if anybody has any questions about LEADS or just in general about getting involved. You can type in the IM box if you want, or you can ask your question. If you ask your question, I just ask that you identify yourself and where you're from. So I'll open it up for questions. No questions. Okay. Let me ask another question. Is anybody on the phone?
Hi, this is T2 from Netcom Learning. How are you?
Oh, hey, T2. How are you? Please.
I just have a quick question. I know that there's a lot of activities from the VFI side. And are you getting any responses from anybody? Like what type of results you see? Or is there anything they're asking for you guys to do? Just curious.
On the LEADS Act, you're asking?
Yes.
So hopefully, if you've written in through our tool, you would have received a response from your elected official. So what I found interesting, actually, and where I know that we're having some impact is the early letters were just kind of getting kind of generic responses, and now with several elected officials, we're on the radar screen with LEADS because now they have a specific response to people based on the LEADS Act. I think that's a step in the right direction. From what I've been told, their elected officials are really interested in hearing from their constituents, and in particular, I would say technology companies, and they need to hear from more. So if you have technology companies that are interested or would be willing to write, I'd be happy to get on the phone with them, or you can I'd be happy to work with you on getting them the information about LEADS. But I think again, this is one of those moments in time where, as Rob noted, there's bipartisan support where we can make a difference on it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. So I have, you know, I always mention VFI to any partners I talk to, and I always tell them to sign up. So I'll continue to do so, and I'll try to set up some meetings with some partners so you can kind of give them a better understanding of what VFI is trying to do and how they can get involved.
Great. And I'd be happy. Thank you. And I'd be happy to work with you. I would say, Tito, in your case, because I know you're in New York, New Jersey Senators, real important right now. So if you have customers there, that'd be great. Go ahead. Sorry. Someone.
Absolutely, I will do.
Okay. Thank you. So, so Jeff, so I see your IMs. I'll read it. What are the current issues surrounding the LEADS Act in terms of those for versus against passage? The responses I received after sending the email was fairly bland and noncommittal. Jeff, if I recall, I think you sent one early on. So I'd be curious if you'd be willing to write another letter in, just to see what sort of response you get. And I'll say,
yeah, sure, I would. I'd be glad to send another one. I was just surprised about the lack of commitment.
Yeah. And I think, and you two in Texas have important senators there. So I would say from my perspective, and then Rob or Shaheen, if you want to jump in with your thoughts as well, I would say, you know, in terms of those that are for this, the arguments are pretty simple. We need to modernize our laws, right? And we need to ensure that that cloud computing can continue to move forward, and there aren't regulations, or there aren't there is trust in storing your data in the cloud. I think those things are all essential. I would say some of the things that I've heard against, or not necessarily against, but just why people aren't signing on to the bill as much, is that they don't feel like there's as much of an issue on this. Again, they're not hearing from impacted constituents as well. And I think, you know, to be honest, that in the technology industry, there's different approaches to cloud and cloud storage. And so there's been some sort of back and forth with some other cloud-based companies just to try to work out a few minor technicalities there. I would say in general that technology companies, both large and small, are supportive of modernizing laws.
I think that this is like something that we have to sort of work through, because I think it's not an easy item to get, you know, past. And I think that Jonathan is right. There are a few other perspectives about this, and so because of that, I think that that's why it's so important for us to keep reaching out to the legislature so that we can continue to interact with them and reach out to them to be able to get this done. Otherwise, it's not a, you know, U.S. government is not easy to get things through, right? So I think this is just part of the process. So I encourage you not to get discouraged.
Yeah, this is Rob. I agree with that. And I'm going to supplement both Jeff and Shaheen by saying that, you know, the organizations most concerned about the LEADS Act are law enforcement organizations who think the law might make it harder for them to obtain information that they want in the course of criminal investigations. You know, the fact is, though, that they're required to obtain search warrants in comparable situations involving people's personal information. That's why we have a Fourth Amendment. Making it clear that warrants that they obtain under this law, can be extended overseas when the target is a U.S. citizen. We think we're showing that they'll actually, you know, be able to do the work they want to do. We're also concerned that if this law doesn't pass and the U.S. government is able to obtain emails for a non-U.S. citizen stored in, you know, say Dublin, Ireland, that other countries will follow suit. And so, for example, China will come in and demand emails on a server in Silicon Valley. it's not a good precedent to set to say that one country can go into another country's borders, virtually speaking, to obtain information stored on servers there. By establishing the search warrant requirement, we establish a rule of law in this instance, which then becomes the precedent instead of the opposite precedent, which, you know, basically encourages seeking information without a warrant when it's stored overseas.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Does that answer your question?
Well, it does. I just wrote another thing about, so is there more support for the foreign portion of it?
So is there a consideration of separating the legislation into domestic versus foreign issues? So I'm not sure about that. What I can tell you is that there's another bill in Congress reforming ECPA, the Electronic Communications. I'm not sure what the other two stand for.
Privacy Act.
Thank you, Rob. Privacy Act. And I believe that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, that deals more with the domestic side of things. Is that correct?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is entirely possible, Jeff, that, you know, as you go through the sausage making of passing legislation, that LEADS could get rolled into ECPA reform as well. But that's not the case right now. It's two separate bills.
Right.
So again, that's
one of the.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say one of the concerns that I have about the current state of the law is that the U.S. government is arguing that when a cloud service provider stores emails for one of its users overseas, they can be required to turn those emails over as business records of the company, not as the private records of the person who composed, you know, the electronic communications, who created the email. But they're treating these emails as if they're business records of the cloud services provider. Now, that is just not a good public policy to have in place. And the solution for it is for Congress to enact an updated public policy that reflects the realities that, you know, people create emails today the way they used to once create letters routinely. And just as you know, the letters that say FedEx and UPS carry are not the business records of FedEx and UPS because the letters were created by a private party, so that is true for emails as well and other kinds of electronics.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you, Rob. Are there any other questions? Okay. Well, hearing none, again,
Jonathan, you mentioned that this is a big issue in certain states. Where are those? Where are the sort of battlegrounds?
So I would say we're really focused on communicating to both Senate and House members who are on the Judiciary Committee, because that's the committee where the bill sits right now. So those are, you know, that's a first focus. And then I would say secondarily, there have been, you know, we've received some feedback from staff on the Hill saying that there are a few senators in states. I'm just going to name a few of them. West Virginia, New Jersey, Idaho, Minnesota, where there's some interest as well, whether they're on the committee or not. But again, the feedback we've heard is we want to hear from more of our technology companies in our state. So I think the more information we can provide them, the better it is. And so these are a couple of, again, easy steps you can take, but certainly, you know, coming into Memorial Day recess and then after that, you know, July 4th recess, there are opportunities that we can work on to do some more direct and state communications as well, if that's interesting to you. Okay. Anything else?
This is Rob. One just unabashed advertisement at this point. On behalf of Shahane and myself and the rest of the board of directors for Naji, we would encourage anyone participating in this call to sign up for Naji. There's no cost to belonging. And it's a good and really in some ways unprecedented coalition of manufacturers and technology companies, all of whom care about IP. I mean, it's amazing how much of the value of manufacturers now is tied up in their IP. It far exceeds the value they have tied up in physical plant, for example. So there's a real mutuality of interest there. And you can easily sign up to be a member of NAGI by going to naji.org. And signing up to receive the updates and be invited to participate in events and have access to the information that we generate. We recently started working with the National Intellectual Property Rights Coordination Center in Virginia. It's a very important organization of over a dozen federal agencies and some foreign law enforcement agencies as well. So our reach continues to grow and collaborations and partnerships expand. So I encourage everyone who hasn't already signed up for NAGI to join and be part of that effort.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for that. And in my follow-up, I'll send a link again to the NAGI website where you can sign up for their newsletter and get involved. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Again, we appreciate you participating. Have a great rest of National Small Business Week. And thank you both to Rob and Shaheen and Kara as well, who's the executive director of NAGI, who's on the call, for making this all possible. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan.
Right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.